This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. Imagine doing your Amazon shopping for a new outfit, a coffee maker, and your groceries in person. A massive 230,000 square foot Amazon superstore is coming to Orland Park, and it's bigger than the big box stores that we're used to seeing, bigger than Costco, even bigger than a super Walmart. But some neighborhood residents are concerned. They say that this development fast-tracked to the finish line without meaningful input. So is this a test run or a glimpse of where retail is headed far beyond Orland Park? In this next conversation, we're going to break down the newly approved plan and dig into what it could mean for local businesses, traffic, and the surrounding community. On the line is Jim Dodge, who's mayor of Orland Park. Hi, Mayor. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. So inquiring minds want to know, what is this Amazon superstore going to offer?
Well, according to Amazon, it will be a mix of groceries and general merchandise. So people should think Costco and Walmart, kind of a shopping experience.
Costco and Walmart kind of put together. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, Yeah, exactly.
The thought of that is already blowing my mind, right? And add to that the thousands of square footage. But I wonder why 159th and LaGrange, because that's a pretty busy intersection, Mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Costco originally wanted to be right at that intersection, but they couldn't work out the land purchase a decade or so or more ago. And Amazon was looking around for this new concept. It fits the zoning. That area is zoned for this type of use. And, you know, to Amazon, as they said at the public hearings, it is the corner of Main Street and Main Street in terms of 159th and LaGrange. So it was a pretty prime piece of real estate for retail development.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, you know, just thinking of the area, that there's already so much there, right? You know, you've got, as you mentioned, the Costco, several strip malls, restaurants, small businesses too. What would we expect Amazon to bring that's not already available?
Yeah, there's a couple great question, right? A couple things there. So Orland is probably well over a million plus. I think the mall alone is 1 million square feet of retail, right? Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of retail in Orland. And if you look at the numbers behind Chicago, Schaumburg, and maybe one other northern suburb, we're the fourth highest sales tax producer in Cook County, and we're probably in top 10 in the state of Illinois. So Orland's a retail center. So it's no surprise to us that retailers look at Orland and want to be there. We're about to have an expanded Dick's Sporting Goods in the mall to replace the now dead Sears store at Orland Square Mall. So What I think they're going to bring is going to be unique to Amazon, right? I think that Amazon's good at a number of things, and this is their first big push into what we can call bricks and mortar retail. Mm-hmm. They know, right? Amazon's growth in retail has been at the same time as Costco's growth in retail and Walmart's growth in retail. So they know they're heading into a fiercely competitive environment, but it's also an attractive area for them.
Yes,
because of LaGrange and 159th.
You know, well, you know what Amazon brings, I think, is so uniquely Amazon, and we've just become so used to Amazon being right at the click of a mouse, right at our fingertips. Are people ready, Mayor Dodge, you know, to go into a big box store? Do they even want that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I've had a lot of feedback during the course of all this, because this first became public back in April, and all the public notices have been going out for months. So this has been quite the topic of conversation out in Orland for a long time. And so if you a number of mostly women who do probably the primary grocery shopping for their homes, they'll tell you how the shopping experience has changed in traditional grocery because they're trying to get around the people who are picking up somebody else's orders. And, you know, Amazon said in the public hearing, they're not going to do it that way. That's why they have a pretty big back room. So the front of their store will probably be the size of your average Target or Costco. The back of the store, which then makes it about the size of your average super Walmart, like in Orland Hills, just two blocks away, is where they're going to keep all the things. So they're going to, what they've said is, if you walk in and you see the 5 pound bag of dog food, but you want the 50 pound bag of dog food, they, Amazon, will go get it and then bring it out to your car. So I think it's going to be a blend. To your point a second ago, of what people are used to from Amazon in terms of you see it, you order it, you get it, and then they find a way to help you get it into your car. Or if you want a blue sweater, not a red sweater, they will go provide it for you at the register as part of their shopping experience. Mm-hmm. So that's the exciting part about this.
We talked to a few residents in Orland Park. Mm-hmm. The general concerns that we heard were around traffic. So I'm going to paraphrase a couple of folks here. Jackie, who is one resident, said that she's worried about congestion in an area where congestion is already at, quote, such a high volume. We talked to another resident named Crystal who echoed mm-hmm. those concerns. But Crystal did say that it could be a good use of the empty land there. She followed up with, you know, I don't think we have a choice. And I want to play a little bit of what Frank had to say.
The key to me is the first of its kind part. I think that puts us on the map in a different way. I am a bit concerned about the traffic it'll cause, but I'm guessing that would be fairly temporary.
So Frank, you know, he said he was excited about the first of its kind part, putting Orland Park, you know, on the map in a different way. Why do you think that Orland Park is being chosen for this experiment, this retail experiment, Mayor?
Yeah, well, I think it's a couple of things. So one, you know, we are a strong regional shopping center. I think that on some of the data we've seen, anywhere between 10 and 15 million people a year visit Orland Park to go shopping. Right. So there's obviously a customer base here, and it's the surrounding areas. It's not just Orland Park. Right. It's clearly the South Suburban area that shops in Orland. And two, a big factor is the space was available. Right. There's just not a whole lot of prime intersections where you have the 30 plus acres that they need for the development. So I think a couple of things came together. And on the traffic concerns, if you don't mind, I'd like to address those specifically. We sure. are using the future property and sales tax we're going to be getting from this area to extend Ravinia. So now if you're coming to Orland, you want to go to Amazon or Costco, because they're going to be on the same road, you can now get to them off of 161st and LaGrange. We're going to put in a new intersection to kind of extend Ravinia Road and make it easier for everybody to get in and out and through that intersection. So that's one part. The other part is we've just kicked off, and we were in the process of kicking it off before Amazon really went through the approval process, is to take a comprehensive look at all the traffic in Orland. One of the main things that plagues, and I've been a Southsider, I grew up on the 40th in California in the city, moved out to Orland years ago. Mm-hmm. We in the South suburbs generally have lagged the region on transportation assets. I was just in an event the other day in Posen, and I was talking to some other mayors, and we were talking about the fact that how long it took the state to connect 57 and 294, you know, unconscionable in terms of what it did to the area in terms of slowing down economic development. And where I'm going with this is if you look at the grid of major roads like LaGrange, you have to go almost 3 miles to the east to get to Harlem, which also runs north and south. So there's one of the reasons I think the southwest suburbs and the south suburbs generally also right. have traffic problems is we don't have a fully developed road grid to kind of spur economic development and quality of life. So the folks are not wrong when they say, hey, you're going to see an increase in traffic. Absolutely true. We are also doing everything we can with the state to flesh out those intersections, improve the lighting, extend some roads to mitigate that. We're pretty mindful of the right. of the impact here.
Yeah, and you know, there's a petition going around, right? It's calling for a pause on this decision to build the development. As I mentioned earlier, folks thought that this kind of happened quickly. Residents want more of a chance to jump in with input. How else are you engaging with residents in this process?
Yeah, we've done so. That petition, in my humble opinion, was reacting to a lot of deliberate disinformation as opposed to misconceptions about the project. And so what we tried to do from the village's perspective is make sure that everybody knew exactly what this was. People kept saying it's warehouse and distribution. No, it's not, because our zoning wouldn't allow warehouse and distribution on that corner. It's a massive Amazon center like they have at Vollmer and Harlem. No, it's not. That's 3 million square feet. This is 230,000 square feet, almost the same size as a Walmart supercenter two blocks away on 159th Street. So we did everything we could from the village to absolutely follow the process the village has always followed. the public notice, the mm-hmm. sign on the right-of-way, notices to the paper, articles in the paper, social media posts through the village. But some of this became inherently political pretty quickly mm-hmm. when in fact it was a simple policy question. Does this commercial use fit this commercial zoning, and what restrictions or constraints do we want to put on the right. petition? That's so in a way it's very simple, but everything nowadays becomes political.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. That's Orland Park Mayor Jim Dodge. Thank you for checking in with us.
Have a great day. Thank you.
Hey, if you just got here, welcome. This is In the Loop. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons. A first of its kind Amazon superstore is coming to South Suburban Orland Park. We're talking about whether this is the future of retail and what, if anything, it means for local businesses and residents. That was the Orland Park mayor. And at the table here in studio with me is retail expert Steve Kane, who's a partner at Bain & Company, an expert in Bain's retail and customer strategy and marketing practices. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Good to see you, Steve. So Amazon, you know, has changed the game in retail. I mean, you heard my conversation there with the mayor, and I'm curious to hear, first of all, what your overall thoughts were.
Well, it's an interesting time for Amazon to be launching something like this. You mentioned at the beginning the outset that they are just announced the closure of all of these other retail concepts that they've been experimenting with. And I mean, they have a history of real experimentation in this space. But to see Amazon Fresh stores, Amazon Go stores, mm-hmm. both of which have been present here in the Chicago area, to see them close, it's interesting for them to then be on the brink of launching something new.
Yeah. What does that move signal to you? Because you bring up a valid point. The Amazon Fresh stores, the Go stores are nearly all closing down.
Yep.
Now we say, okay, scrap that. Let's do a massive superstore that no one's ever seen before. What could be the thinking there, the reasoning there, you think?
Yeah. You know, they have never shied away from technology, experimentation, and all that. And so the concepts that they have played with have been very tech forward, you know, the Just Walk Out technology or, you know, other ways that they've tried to integrate e-commerce into these formats. But they've also been a little bit more of a premium experience. Mm-hmm. I think this is a recognition that those haven't worked. The unit economics don't make sense. And if we really want to be in this game, we need to be in sort of more of a value-oriented suburban shopping setting where we can compete for mass retail at a price point that most people accept.
Yes. So finding, you know, an empty 35 acres in Orland Park, that's by design.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly.
So I'm going to ask you something similar to what I asked the mayor. I mean, do customers want this? Do they want to get offline and go back to in-person shopping?
So broadly, I would say yes. And the reason I would say that is if you look at where all the growth is flowing in the retail space, most of it is going to people like Walmart, Target, Costco. These are the big winners right now. Mm-hmm. So despite the fact that e-commerce continues to increase in popularity and penetration, still the vast majority of shopping is done in a brick and mortar environment. Now, the mayor mentioned this as well. This is a very crowded space. You've got over 3,500 Walmart supercenters in the country. You've got 600 or 700 Costcos.
Right.
You've got hundreds of Targets. And then locally here, we've got, you know, Mariano's and Julasco and Meijer, all of these players that are vying for basically the same business.
Yeah, but this is being called a first of its kind.
Yeah.
How would you say, you know, from your expert viewpoint, that this would be different?
Yeah, it's tough to know at this stage, to be honest. What we do know, and the mayor touched on this, is they've declared that this will be about half of a retail store that consumers will go in and shop, and mm-hmm. then half of it will be dedicated to online fulfillment. Now, every retailer is doing some combination of this. It's not uncommon to find at a Walmart Supercenter or a Meijer to have a micro-fulfillment center in the back that a customer wouldn't see, where they're fulfilling online orders out of the back of the store to keep it out of the aisles. So every retailer that's experimenting is, mm-hmm. has some combination of this. This, I think Amazon will push this to a much more extreme end and see if they can take really half of that square footage and use it for e-commerce. So I think that will be the interesting play. And they even admitted as they announced the closure of all their Amazon Fresh stores that experience wasn't differentiated in any real
right.
way. So customers didn't really need it on top of what they already have.
Yeah. And, you know, and on top of the concerns, right, of traffic and the timeline of this entire process, of course, there are bright sides to a development like this. The mayor pointed some out. I think we should also touch on the 500 jobs Amazon is expecting to create, right? Half of those will be full-time roles. A couple hundred will be some temporary construction jobs. But that's a positive, right, Steve?
Absolutely. And I'm excited to see what they do. I mean, they're on the forefront of experimentation, and they come to this with a tremendous number of assets. I mean, obviously, their Prime membership program is huge and allows them to understand their consumer base really well and track them and mm-hmm. ultimately provide them personalized offers. So it'll be interesting to see how they bring some of this technology that they've learned over the years into this environment. It will be exciting. It does put Orland Park on the map in that sense.
Yes.
Whether or not customers ultimately embrace it, for a store of this scale to be successful, they need to be doing millions and millions of dollars of revenue weekly. And that's going to be the challenge. They're going to have to steal that business from all of the crowded space that's around them.
What about the small businesses in the area? What do you think is the impact to them?
It's a good question.
Because we're talking about, you know, the impact to all these big box stores.
Yeah.
What about the mom and pops?
And Amazon has a history of taking companies like that down over the years. Yeah, as they, you know, they started in books decades ago, and then they marched their way through all these categories of retail, disrupted them, and in many cases we've seen other businesses go out of business because they couldn't survive. Mm-hmm. So yeah, for those local, depending on how they show up, particularly outside of grocery, in the general merchandise stores, space, as they think about how they tackle home goods or sporting goods or some of these other areas, technology, consumer electronics, if there are mom and pop stores in that area that are trying to serve that customer, it'll be a challenge.
Yeah. You know, I'm thinking about success and what success would look like here. In your view, Steve, I mean, what would a successful integration into Orland Park be for this superstore?
Well, they're going to have to attract a lot more customers than are probably currently shopping in the area in order to for the surrounding retailers that are already there with entrenched customer bases mm-hmm. to survive, and for this store to then thrive in the midst of all that, it's going to have to draw more traffic. I think this one store, as in any experiment, will probably not be a wild success right out of the gate. Mm. They're going to learn some things. And the only reason a store like this makes sense is if you can replicate it hundreds, if not thousands of times.
I think that's the point, right? They want to try this in Orland Park. Hopefully it's going to be a blueprint
yep.
for other cities, right? And maybe even other parts of our region. And you can copy and paste.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. You know, not far from this studio, Steve, is Michigan Avenue. It's another shopping through fair. And it's one that's been struggling significantly, especially in recent years. We've talked a lot about this on the program. So as we talk now about the Amazon Superstore and just retail experimentation, is that a place you think where retailers and the city should be experimenting? Is there room for that?
There's always room for it. Yes, absolutely. This will be what's happening on Michigan Avenue is fundamentally different than what Amazon is trying to address with a much more suburban mass value orientation. You know, Michigan Avenue's success will be driven by, you know, significant brands making a mark on that street, really playing to that local consumer mm-hmm. and the tourist consumer that is primarily there. So that's a very different retail experiment. And we've seen a lot of people come and go. And it goes through cycles, but
it
feels like we're on the brink of another, you know, positive cycle where some of that vacancy is beginning to fill in with brands that are new to the world, new to the Chicago market, which brings new energy to that street.
Yeah, interesting. Steve Kane is a partner at Bain & Company and an expert in Bain's retail and customer strategy and marketing practices. Thank you so much.
Of course. Happy to do it.